One world, one market.
Greetings, members of the Planetary Union. I am Communications Officer Asimov, and I have been tasked with introducing this podcast to you. The recording you are about to hear is brought to you by Captain Greg E. Hochstetler and First Mates Miranda Fisher, Tim Treese, and alien expert Dr. Kevin O'Brien. Follow at Official Orville on Twitter to see all information dispatches from the crew, and go to officialorville.space to leave a comment on an episode or find links to subscribe to the show or rate and review us on iTunes. The mission is to explore the space. This is the official, the Orville podcast.
Goddamn, maybe it's those thighs that kill me from time to time. I'm the only one that sends shivers up your spine. Oh, I know how you like it, and I know that you like to ride it.
Hello, it is me, the actor who you like so much. I just wanted to say that I love your podcast, and it's better than all of the competitors, especially Planetary Union podcast. Goodbye.
Hello, all you aliens in the Planetary Union, and welcome to the official Orville podcast. I'm your podcast captain, Greggy, and with me is my co-captain and first officer, security officer, Miranda. Miranda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome, Greggy, and Alex Arbor Day to all the fans.
Thank you. Yes, sometimes we forget about Alex Arbor Day, but it is very important to welcome the fans in that way.
I just want to say, to me, every day is Alex Arbor Day.
That is true. That's really smart. I kind of feel like sometimes I get a little down and I don't have that Alex Arbor Day spirit, but I really appreciate you and your ability to, you know, do that every week, every day.
Thank you so much.
Also joining us is second first officer and first mate and security office. No, not security. You're not security. You would be a science officer, I think, probably. Mark is here. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome to the show to you, too.
Well, thank you. Now, this is technically your first time being on the show, but you are a big Orville fan, right?
I have been a big Orville fan and so excited for the show since it was first announced. And I'm so excited to finally see an episode of it.
That's good to hear. So, yeah, you are a science officer. You know, like, what is your main science that you're the best at?
I would say evolution, probably.
Okay. Now, we don't want to get into that necessarily. We have our own ideas on that. But I guess that's a good thing to study, if that's what you feel like studying, whatever. Kevin is supposedly coming at some point, so we may hear from you know, our other science officer, alien expert Dr. Kevin O'Brien, but who knows?
Don't really need him.
That's true. We've got Mark now, and Kevin has been kind of a drag.
We're pretty contentious scientific issues tackled in this episode, so it might be good to have two scientific
points. Yeah, that's true. This was an incredibly science-y episode. It was kind of like a very dramatic episode as well, and I recently read this article on Deadline Hollywood, because, of course, that is my homepage. I'm always, you know, opening my browser, checking out Deadline Hollywood. The article is The Orville Seth MacFarlane on Balancing Comedy, Drama, and Star Trek. Yeah, he talked about how in season two, it's mostly a drama and not really that many jokes in it.
Okay, that actually makes a lot of sense based on this episode, yeah.
I thought it was really funny, too, though. I mean, it's always cracking me up, but this episode in particular had a lot of really good lines, like when they made fun of maternity leave. That was cool. I liked that.
And like the bureaucratic you know, the things giving people rights for maternity leave and stuff like that, like they aren't allowed to ask about it.
Yeah,
that was really funny, definitely.
Yeah.
And then there was that, like, well, we don't want to get to talking about the episode necessarily quite yet,
because right.
I want to talk about this Deadline Hollywood article. But that elephant guy, he was cracking me up.
He was great. Oh, yeah. I have to wonder if he's going to become a permanent character.
Well, he must. I think he's the new security guy now.
Well, I read an article that said that the security officer will be replaced by another young woman of the same race from the same planet.
Okay, la la la, that's spoilers. We don't want to get to that.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not.
According to episode 3, the story so far, that elephant guy is the new security officer.
Well, they did make a point to say that he was temporary.
Okay. True.
Yeah. I think they also, you know, well, I don't want to get too into the episode. Never mind. I'll wait until we talk about the episode.
Okay. Well, let me just get through what Seth had to say in this article. He was speaking to, doesn't have a byline, so he was speaking to somebody. Oh, no, Amanda Naduka. He said, when we began this, it was designed to be a little bit more of a hybrid, straddling the line pretty evenly between comedy and drama. That sounds about right. But he says, I've been a big sci-fi fan since I was a kid. I think secretly...
Sorry.
Yep.
He's been a big size thigh fan?
Sci-thighs, yes. He likes
a fan of big size thighs.
Yes, it's okay. Interesting that that's the way he answered this question about.
Yeah,
you know if you're going to be that kind of. You know if you're going to be a big thighs fan pretty early in life.
He also I gotta say, everybody I can think of in the cast is pretty slim thighed, maybe except Bordis.
Except who? I missed that.
Bordis. I feel like Bordis maybe has some big size thighs, but
yeah.
Other than that.
I guess that's what got him casted. But actually, maybe not, because when I reread this sentence, it does say, I've been a big sci-fi fan. So this big size thighs, that might have just been my own thing. Like that was in my own brain.
Classic projection.
Yeah. He says, I think secretly that was the show I wanted to do, but I figured there's no way in hell anyone would swallow that from me. So he sunk this comedy Star Trek thing past the executives at Fox just to get the show on the air. And then he did a bait and switch in season 2 to make it, just science fiction.
I think he's selling himself short because it is also just still really funny.
Yeah, I mean, and if you just put like 3 jokes at the beginning and maybe 1 joke at the end, well, I guess in this one it was just like a big heartwarming moment. But you know, just a few jokes, if you just sprinkle those in there, that's good enough for me.
I think there was a joke in the middle. I'm pretty sure I remember one.
Okay.
Sure. How sure are you?
Well, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of context. It seemed like a joke because it didn't make any sense.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds like an Orville joke.
Yeah, it also might be something that like might make sense to us because we've seen so many episodes.
Yes, it may actually be a very dramatic thing to say, and I just don't have the background to understand. But I don't want to jump ahead. It was in the middle of the episode.
Okay.
Okay, well, when we get to it, will you let us know that that's what you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, rounding out this article, and of course, it being an article, there's a lot more stuff in it, but I'm only reading the stuff that Seth MacFarlane says because I don't really care, about any of the rest of it. But he says, Star Trek was the first franchise to bring it to a point to reach the mainstream in such a massive way. I think he's talking about science fiction or something. I don't know. But in many ways, it does have ownership on this idea of a captain on a bridge of his starship instead of a sailing ship. But it's become the convention. You can't help but go there if you're doing this type of show. You just try to start by learning from what your predecessors have figured out and then take it off in its own direction. And absolutely, yes. Bravo, Seth. This is entirely different from Star Trek. Like, I barely even know what that show is about.
I just like how he says this type of show as though this is like a super common show type when it's not. It's not just like a bunch of different Star Treks and then Seth MacFarlane.
Yes. Yeah. It is. It's Star Trek and then it's the Orville. And then I guess there are a few, but they are also just trying to be Star Trek, I think.
Like what?
Well,
Battlestar Galactica, maybe?
Yeah, like Battlestar Galactica.
That's a Star Trek.
Yeah.
No. I don't think so. Now you got me confused.
It has Star in it, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yes. That does make sense, actually.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? There was one like called Andromeda and had the Hercules guy in it. But Andromeda is just another star.
Yeah. Babylon 5, is that a Star Trek show or is that its own show?
It sounds like Star Trek.
Yeah, you could persuade me either way.
Sounds like the prequel to Deep Space Nine.
So I think right, yeah, 5 is four before 9.
I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I can't be sure. Tim isn't here, but that does sound right to me.
Yeah, we lost our numbers guy. He's dead.
Yeah, so this week we watched The Orville Season 2, Episode 3, Home.
I don't like being home.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
We haven't,
yes, it's been so long.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, slipping into your home, you know, a warm, inviting place that we loved.
And then immediately going to a cabin, to a beach house.
Yeah, exactly.
It should have been called Vacation Home. So that's where it did take place.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a little bit of punch up. I'm writing that down. We can send that to Seth later.
I don't know. He has control over the episode titles. That might be something that gets like handed down from the suits.
Yeah, because they didn't do the right thing and call it Vacation Home. So I assume Seth did not have control over that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But the basic gist of this episode is Alara, we know her to be so big and strong, but she stops being very strong, and she like gets her arm broken by Isaac when they're doing arm wrestling, and she's just weaker than usual. Dr. Finn says the reason why is because you have to go back to your home planet where the gravity is strong, and so she goes back home, and there's some crazy stuff happens there with guns and stuff, and then she decides she doesn't want to be on the show anymore. But we're now we'll go part by part. I mean, I don't want to jump ahead, but that is the gist of this episode.
Yeah, sounds like we got it.
Oh, you want to just call it there? I mean, we could. It seems weird to me that they have so many arm wrestling matches between Isaac and Alara. Like, Isaac is a robot. It seems like he would always be the same amount of strong. Like, why would they need to, like, arm wrestle 30 times?
I wonder the same thing. Like, once you arm wrestle someone, you know who's stronger. Why are they so evenly? It seems like it's not like a on the day, like, oh, today is that's just a bad arm wrestling day. Like, it's just a direct measurement of strength.
I also was thinking a lot about how she seemed like she didn't want to do it at all, how inappropriate it was. And I was just imagining her like writing to HR and being like, my coworkers keep forcing me to arm wrestle a robot. I don't want to do it. Can they, like, is this legal?
Yes, that's a good point. Like, all these men are gathered around her and like cheering, yeah, do it.
Screaming at her.
They're betting on it and everything.
Yeah.
Well, then she broke her arm.
Yeah, she busted her arm.
Seems like a pretty big deal.
Oh, well, well, well. Look who we have here.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the science officer himself, Mr. Dr. Kevin O'Brien, alien expert. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, my personal ship. I hope you don't mind. I left it right out front here. I just parked anywhere out front.
Yes. Park it anywhere.
On the driveway, the only place that would be okay to park.
Oh, well, you know, the world is one big driveway.
Life is a driveway.
Yep.
I want to drive it all night long.
It's true. That's why he even wrote that song.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, we already talked about the Deadline Hollywood piece, of course. Now we just started talking about the episode. We're talking about how Alara got her arm broke in the arm wrestling match.
The part where they like force them like gladiators to battle for their pleasure. That part.
Yes, good call. That's pretty much what Miranda just said. She was like, Alara should have been calling HR about that.
Afterwards. Yeah, I would have. Yeah. good point, Miranda.
Thank you. Thanks. I was going to say that we didn't really need you to be here because we have another science guy, but it turns out that I'm glad you're here to tell me when I make good points.
Well, right now I'm doing the science of compliments, and I think you're doing great.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
And I'll ignore the other part about you saying how we do it. You don't really need me.
So, yeah, she gets her arm broken. Dr. Finn, I always keep trying to call her Dr. Quinn. It's been too long since we've been on.
Yeah, the medicine woman.
That's the medicine woman. Yeah.
The medicine woman? Mark. Yeah. They're called doctors. This is your science guy? I mean, come on. It's called a doctor.
Yeah, Dr. Finn was able to fix her broken arm like immediately, but she says the gravity of the Orville is making her weak now. Her bone density, her muscle mass, I mean, she looked the same to me, but her muscle mass apparently was down like 40%. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I'm sure their muscles work differently, so that's why it's not something you can see physically. It's something like, it's like an internal, it's kind of like almost a feeling. Like you feel strong, you are strong.
And at this point I wrote down, they obviously have fake gravity on the ship. Why don't they just make her quarters like have stronger gravity? So I just wanted to talk to you guys as the science officers. Like, why is that not possible?
Mark, yeah. Go ahead.
I have a pre-question for that.
They actually did that. That was the solution at the end of the episode they came up with.
Yeah, that's true.
They had to use the, this name always escapes me. I want to say holodeck, but gosh, what is it called? Simulation room?
Okay.
Yeah, they have to do it within that 2 hours a day. And you have to understand, it's going to be pretty painful. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But they couldn't do it in her room because, oh boy, if Tim was here, he could run the numbers because science and math are kind of closely related. So I have the science here and I just need it to be verified with the math. So without Tim here.
Maybe next episode, if Tim can actually be bothered to show up, we can ask him about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Miranda, you said you had another question related to it.
I had a kind of like a pre-question for that, which was going to be, Kevin, did you watch this episode?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just
why?
Checking. I thought maybe you didn't have time. You're a busy guy. You know, you got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, today was really busy, but I managed to squeeze in a good 48 minutes for the Orville.
Thank you so much. I just want to thank you for prioritizing us in that way.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. And, you know, obviously I spent 2 hours before the episode on my prayer rug, just like... like with my big sculpture of Seth in front of it. And I was kind of, you know, again, mentally prepared. So it was 3 hours actually out of the day that I set aside.
Oh.
And then I had my 1 hour come down, of course.
For Alara's, you know, safety and well-being, they decide she has to go back to Celaea for a while. And of course, you know what I'm thinking? Finally, vindication. Like, we don't want Alara to be gone, but we've been saying for so long, it's going to happen. But this episode, it just kept faking us out. Like, I kept thinking, yes, this is going to be it. But it kept seeming like it was going to come back around. When they go to Celaea, Gordon is really horny for the planet Celaea. He loves that planet.
I didn't really get that.
That was my joke. That was the middle of the episode joke that I found.
Oh, okay.
Okay, could you explain it to us, Mark?
Oh, no, not at all. I only assumed it was a joke because it made no sense based on anything that had happened previous. But for him to say, I really love this place. It's so beautiful. It always reminds me, what did he say, of what a piece of shit I am?
Or yeah. Something
to that effect. And I thought, I guess just a non sequitur is a joke.
I mean, well, you could just show the ship flying through and, you know, them kind of looking at this new planet. But then, you know, that's easy filmmaking. You know, that's easy to just show that. But kind of let the writers have a little fun, throw a little joke in there.
How beautiful it was if someone on screen didn't describe it as it was visible to us.
Yeah, that's true. Like when Alara is on the, oh gosh, I want to say horse, but it's not a horse. The Evik, I'm going to go ahead and say that's what it's called. When she's riding on that on the beach, I was really hoping we could just kind of see like, you know, how in Star Wars, they're like the ghosts of Obi-Wan, like kind of do like a ghost of Gordon over it. Be like, this is really beautiful. It's what you're looking at right here. Just so I could understand the beauty of it. But yeah, it's a great planet. It seems they took a lot of inspiration from a very nice city, London. I see lots of things that remind me of the Shard, which is an iconic building, like a triangle, just sticking out of the ground. And then, of course, they drew some inspiration from the Stax in Ready Player One as the, but kind of a more, you know, upscale stacks with a bunch of houses on top of each other in the hillside. Hate to be the bottom house, you know, shit runs downhill. But then again, we don't know what a Salam plumbing system is like.
And we probably wouldn't even be able to conceive of it. It's got to be so much more advanced than ours.
Well, they're really smart. This is a very interesting part about this race of aliens, is that they're really smart, but if they're not smart enough, they leave the planet and go be strong.
Yes. Yeah, they're all very strong, but they don't notice it because their planet is so, the gravity is so high.
Yes. And that's kind of something we all can do. Next time you're feeling weak, just imagine yourself on a much smaller, on the moon or something, lifting up a big old the car.
Okay, I'm imagining that I'm on the moon lifting up a big old car.
Yeah, and just for comedy, let's say you're lifting up a Saturn.
Okay, I get it.
Yes, or maybe a Mercury, I don't know.
All right, okay, now I'm laughing, but
yeah, and normally when you're laughing, your muscles get weaker, but you can hold it, no problem.
Oh,
because you're on the moon.
And why am I imagining this?
Just if you're ever feeling weak, just imagine that.
Oh, if I'm feeling weak, imagine strong. Being strong. Okay.
Yeah. So they go there. Gordon and the captain are going to take Alara to the planet in a shuttle. They have a gravity shield on the shuttle. It seems as though they can maybe monkey with that a little bit for us, Alara, you know, just go in there. But I don't know. Of course, it's something they can only do in the simulation room.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they take her down. The captain is in a big suit that makes the gravity okay for him. That made me think, like, it has a very big, like, timer on it. And it made me think something was going to happen there. But nothing did. They just dropped her off and took off. The captain says, your daughter has done great things in the military, which made me think the Orville is in the military, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're all called captain and other stuff, so.
Yeah. I guess they're technically fighting against the Krill. But they don't do a lot of military kind of stuff.
Well, that's why you have a big military, so you prevent, you know, it's peace through strength. You prevent there needing to be battles.
Mm-hmm.
By
yeah, your sphere of influence, you know, you got to have your posts throughout the galaxy to kind of, you know, let anybody know if they're thinking, like, just join us, right? Don't don't start your own thing. That's what the Krill did. And well, Krill get killed.
So I haven't seen any other episodes, but I did read that that was the first sort of space suit, or they called it an environmental suit, that they've shown on the Orville in the entire run of the show. Which is pretty impressive practical effect they must have done.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this about the Orville, Mark, but the effects team really knows how to stretch a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Thing cost a dollar. I am impressed because it looked like a real space suit.
Buddy, it's $1 for the whole show. So that suit, they may have stretched, I don't know, like a penny.
It probably got to be less than that.
Yeah, yeah. They're stretching like micro transactions. Yeah.
They got to be planning for a couple hundred episodes total. Mm-hmm. That's less than 1 cent per episode. And then you got other stuff going on in this episode, so.
That's true, but then you have to understand that they can reuse something. Sometimes, like, you spend one penny on the ship, right? That's okay, okay. So maybe on, like, episode 33, you actually only spend, like, like 0.003 cents, and then so on and so forth. I don't know how they pay the actors, really, but, yeah.
Well, you could see how they could probably reuse some of the parts of that suit for stuff in the future. Like, the timer could become...
alarm clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that timer, I was thinking for a second. Now look, we don't know this planet. Is that the clock? Is that how time works there? So I was just thinking maybe time goes faster. I'm not sure. So, but either way, good to have it really big, readable, very big numbers.
So your thing is the local time was 59:59 and it counted down?
Yeah, well, like I said, you don't know this planet. They don't give you a whole lot. And then we go to this beach resort. So, yeah. And, you know, then you're on island time. So who knows really what it is.
Yeah, you're probably right.
There's a big old moon or something on the beach, you know. I don't know how it works.
It's actually possible that shit runs uphill. Because the only thing we really know is that they have crazy gravity.
Uh-huh, that's true.
Alara's parents are a big nightmare. They kind of seem like they hate her, kind of.
Yeah. Sorry. Mark, you're talking about shit, right? And we talked about the sewage system. It just makes me wonder. So the poo of a Salian is very, it must be very strong. Either that or it comes out like... with a lot of weight on it, a lot of force.
Yeah.
I would think the gravity would compact it, so it would come out like a BB. Like a tiny.
Yeah. Yeah? Like a pellet. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to write this down, and we'll ask Seth about this as well.
Yeah, okay.
Like, what is Alara's shit like, especially on her planet, but then also...
And then
she gets to the Orville.
That would be so weird for her if it was normally like a pellet, and then she goes back to Earth gravity.
Yes.
Huge. It's probably really uncomfortable.
Yes. Orville Knights. We'll see.
Miranda, do you have any thoughts on that?
No.
Oh, that makes you comfortable. We can talk about like how her dad's is. If you want to talk about Alara, is it like because it's Alara?
Or her dad's dick is? Is that?
No, I didn't say that.
I thought that's what you said. What did you say?
I said we could talk about her dad, like what her dad's poo or her mom's poo is like. If it's like Alara that you have the problem with.
Oh, but I genuinely thought that you said we can talk about how her dad's dick is.
We
maybe
can talk,
let's talk about that.
I mean, is that a pellet? I don't know.
Maybe it's normal size, but then when you get it on Earth gravity, you know.
Yeah, yes. I wonder. Okay, I don't want to get too body here, but like,
look, Tim's not here. This is the time for it.
If like a Salian guy goes to Earth gravity, like, what is a boner like? Does it like spring up too fast? Does it like sprain something in there?
Could you kill somebody?
Hmm.
I guess we should ask like astronauts that have gone to space, like what it's like when they get a boner in space.
When they come home.
Yeah, does anybody got a couple signs?
Oh no, wait, that doesn't make sense. That's the opposite. When they come home to their wife, so they must be like, what is this? I don't know what their relationship's like. Probably more healthy than that.
Yeah, so Alara's parents, they love her sister more than her because her sister is like going to school or something. What is she doing?
She was at the lab. I know that much. So okay. Probably a scientist.
Yeah, scientist. I think on Celea, they look down on the military, right? That's what it is?
Mm-hmm. Jarheads. That's what they call them.
Oh. I missed that part.
Yeah, you can tell. It's on the tip of the dad's tongue.
Oh, by the way, Alara's dad is played by a big Star Trek guy. I don't have his name written down or anything, but he was the doctor on Star Trek Voyager. So, like, Seth is kind of pulling these people in as a wink, maybe, you know, like as a favor even to them for kind of inspiring him a little bit for the Orville and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Is that show still running, Voyager?
Oh, no, no, no. It's long canceled. Mm.
Figures.
Then we, back on the Orville, we finally meet the elephant guy. Now, I didn't double check this, but I think that was played by Patrick Warburton. Did anybody else?
Is that the guy who does Joe?
Joe
on American Dad, or I mean Family Guy?
Oh, yes.
Okay. That's how I know people.
Yeah, that was definitely Patrick Warburton.
Okay. Sometimes these aliens on here, Kevin, I just don't understand them. So he's got a big elephant tusk or elephant trunk that goes from his mouth to his stomach. So he has two esophagus, as he says.
Mm-hmm.
He can swallow like a normal person and it goes down like normal, but then he can also swallow where it goes up through the trunk, I guess?
Yeah, and he doesn't... I mean, I don't remember him talking about his stomach being very good. Did you guys hear any of that? Because it seems like he just has two ways to get food in his stomach.
He said the fast metabolism. So
okay.
I don't know if that extends to digesting food twice as fast, but...
Yeah, I guess sometimes the, you know, like one spot's like, you know, backed up a little, or, you know, sort of traffic jam. And because I kind of see the body as like a big, the body's like a highway or whatever, a big road. Yeah.
Like a driveway.
Yeah.
Looking at IMDb, that was Patrick Warburton as Lieutenant Tharl. And Robert Picardo is Ildis Kitan, Alara's dad.
Captain Picardo.
Yes.
His name Picardo is himself. A little tip of the hat. Yeah.
So yeah, he's eating on the bridge. He sounds gross. And he's got these two esophaguses, so he can just pound food down. He's probably going to be eating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so sorry for Captain Orville.
Yeah, it sucks that this guy exists because he's just really kind of bothering all the people that I love. And I don't know this guy really, and he's just being annoying to them. I don't care about him or his green food. And I think we all can agree on that right now.
Yeah.
I know that I've been at work with people who eat weird food and like smack their lips when they're eating, and it drives me nuts. Like, just get out of here.
Yes. And that's in the lunchroom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you imagine if it was by your desk?
I can't even imagine it.
That's what they're dealing with right now.
Yeah, well, if they told him to get out of here, it's outer space.
Yeah, why doesn't Captain Orville just say, dude, get out of here. just be straight with him. This is kind of... So something that I wish you would do more often, just be straight with people. Sorry.
Yeah, as a captain, you'd hope that he would not beat around the bush and be like awkward with someone. Just say what's on your mind. You're the captain. You can tell him to leave.
Yeah, but then you want everybody to like you, right?
True.
I mean, I do, but I'm not the captain of a spaceship.
Yeah.
I do worry with his fast metabolism. Like, he has to be eating so much of the time. Like, he would not be able to actually get a job done if he left the bridge every time. Yeah.
Or sorry, work through his lunch. So that must be how he overcomes that.
They asked him what he was eating, and he said stew. It sounded like crunchy in some way. Of course, a lot of times when I'm watching the show, I don't actually look at it. I just listen to it. So I never actually looked at the food. But yeah, he said it was stew.
I don't know. Greggy, I don't know what to tell you there. My hands are up in the air, and I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah, so back on the planet, some crazy funny game shit is going on. There's some kind of a crime in the neighborhood, and Alara is going into security officer mode. She's like trying to solve this crime. The neighbors come over that have been, their house has been broken into, and they had dinner with them, but then they the dad is making this boiling sauce. And the neighbor says, don't use that spoon to give me some of
the
sauce.
This is the big turn of the episode, because everything was cool up until this moment. And before, I feel like you kind of rushed through that, and I understand why, because, like, who cares? But there was the shot on the beach. There's a lot there. You know, Alara sees a light from far away.
Investigated the real estate guy's house, and we never found out what happened to him.
Oh no, we did find out what happened to him.
Okay. I was looking at the TV. Did something bad happen?
Yeah, he was like dead under a bush. They ended
up.
Oh,
I missed that part.
Basically, just to dig into it a little bit deeper, they go to this island to escape to get Alara healthy. I guess everybody's rich there or something, or not everybody's rich, but everything's good. And they have this island that everybody goes to, but it's the off season. And I don't know, but it's nice out, so I don't really know what the off season is. That part threw me off a little. Like, it's gorgeous. Looks like perfect weather. I don't, if that's the off season, I want to know what the on season's like.
It might be because of hurricanes. I know in the Caribbean, the off season is hurricane season.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Mr. Meteorologist here shut me up. Is Miranda okay? Oh, yeah. She says she's, I don't know if I got muted or what, but I'm yelling, can you hear me? And no one is responding. I'm assuming you're not just ignoring me, but who knows? Oh, no, Miranda, we're not ignoring you. We just can't hear you for some reason.
Hmm.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
Okay, I unplugged my headphones, which had been working well before, but then stopped.
Oh, weird.
It was literally like 15 minutes of me just like trying to say stuff, and I thought you guys were just ignoring me.
Yeah, we were.
Well, I know it wasn't that funny, but you could have like acknowledged that I said something.
You know, I thought there was, I thought maybe you stepped away to make a drink or something. I was like, I don't want to bring it up, and you know, but yeah.
Yeah. So what did we miss that,
Yeah, say some of your good comments. And
oh, man, it was so funny. You guys would have loved it so much. It's not really going to, like, work out of context, but just imagine that I said just, like, the funniest thing.
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah. Oh God. Oh,
so good. Yeah. You shouldn't go there in this climate, but it was good. It was a good one.
Miranda, what did you think about Alara's security work in solving this mystery here?
I thought it was great. I loved how the big message of the episode was that she isn't smart and her value comes from being strong, even though every other being on her planet is as strong as she is.
Yeah, and I'm beginning to question if anyone on that planet is even smart, because... Well, I mean, I don't know if we're there yet, so I'll save it for a bit. But I'll say that the security work, you said it was good, but then there's two people in her house holding them at gunpoint. I wouldn't feel very safe at that point.
And she got them.
Well, yeah, eventually. One scolding hand later.
Maybe she was like trying to let her dad go through a little pain because he was kind of like her earlier. Yeah.
Pain is our greatest teacher. It's true.
Well, there was also a pretty critical intervention by Captain Orville, who arrived at just the right time to distract.
Yeah, that's true too.
So I'm not sure what the message is there.
Well, that's just kind of what he does.
Yeah, so at first when the guy wanted him to stick his hand into the pot, I was like, I was not sure if that's something Salaeans can do. Like, I didn't realize until he actually like pulled the gun or whatever and made him do it that.
And did we get a shot of the pot beforehand? Because up until then, I didn't even know it was like a hot pot or anything like that.
Well, they mentioned it was boiling, but yeah, they did show like a brief second of it really boiling a lot, which I don't know. I don't usually serve sauce while it is furiously boiling.
Yeah,
he should have asked, like, can I turn it off? Like, what are the rules here of this? That I know I have to serve it with my hand, and I will. But can I turn it off? Let it sit for a second? Can I throw some ice cubes in it first? What are the rules? You got to ask these kind of things because, you know, you never know. They might be a little lenient on that. They're saying, okay, you caught me in a logic flaw in what I said.
Yeah, the guy pulled the gun on him, made him do it. He burnt his hand all up. And it turns out the reason why is because their son killed himself because he was like an anti-vaxxer. And Alara's dad totally just ruined him in the scientific journals, which on Soleil, of course, is a big thing because everybody is so smart.
Mm-hmm. So smart. And yet when their whole... So basically they want him to like make an announcement to the planet that he was wrong and his son was right. And he says, if you don't do it, I'm going to shoot your daughter's head off. Right. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. And Lolara goes, no, if you do it, then he has no reason to keep us alive. And the guy goes, very clever. really got me. How about I cut off one of her fingers instead? And he's like, no, I'll do it. And I'm like, okay. So then you're going to do it, and then they're going to kill you. I don't know. These people are stupid. Why would he say, like, no, I'm just going to shoot your daughter. I'm going to blow her head off, and then now do it. Like, make the announcement, and then I'll kill you, the rest of you.
It might seem stupid to us, but that's because we're so stupid that we don't understand advanced Salaean logic. They're, like, 35 steps ahead of us. They're playing a different game than we are. Anything that happens on that planet and we're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. It seems like somebody didn't really like think this through and they just kind of wrote down the first thing that popped into their head. It's our fault.
I think that might be the gravity sickness talking, Miranda.
When he said he would go ahead and make the announcement after he was going to chop the sister's finger off, then he was like, well, no, I'm going to chop the finger off anyway because I want you to feel the same pain of having one of your children get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very inconsistent ransom holding.
Yeah, they're not good. You can tell. Well, you can tell they're new at this. They're no Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that they're out of their normal area of expertise.
Yeah.
And you have to imagine once he puts out that statement, and then he and his entire family is like murdered. Like somebody else is going to look into this kid's, study or whatever, and maybe do the math again anyway.
I don't know. It's the off season. So no one's there. And, you know, I hate to go back to this, Miranda. I don't know if you have any funny off season jokes, but I was going to say like, maybe everyone there is maybe they play sports there. Maybe there's a big... They mention everybody's on the beach with umbrellas. So I'm guessing there's some sort of organized beach umbrella league. And during the regular season, everybody's there. During the off season, they all leave and they go back to their summer homes or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's just fun to think about.
In a way, I think the guy's plan was more just murder them all. And and the statement was kind of maybe a secondary thing.
I wonder why he had to kill the real estate man. I would be interested to explore that a little more. I wish they had gone into it.
Yeah, why were they out at that island to
why
kill him?
Rent a house in the normal way. Like, he's a real estate guy. I'm sure he would rent them a house.
And why was he in their bushes? He's in their bushes. And they do a really funny, like when the dad jumps off the side of the or falls off the side of the house, and he lands in the bushes, and he looks over and he sees the dead guy. They're on the dad. They pan to the body, and then they pan to the dad and he gets away. And then they do a quick little one back more of the body, yeah, you really are seeing this. He's really dead. Your favorite character has died.
You know, that's the kind of show that the Orville is. You never know what's going to happen. They might just kill off a beloved character just like that.
Yeah. Well, it's very Game of Thrones-like. I've been saying this. He takes a lot of inspo from George.
I think Gott is inspired by the Orville.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Can't argue with it.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
I think you find usually the episodes are a lot tighter on the episodes where it's more Seth-centric. And these secondary characters, I think they just don't have, the gravitas of Seth to be able to say, no, this doesn't make sense. We got to fix it. But then on the other hand, it's just another symptom of, the Orville is so good, you really need to watch each episode two or three times to get everything straight.
Mm-hmm. Like, you'll notice if you watch this episode again, you notice that this is a very bone crush heavy episode. There's a broken arm and two broken legs, and you can just tell that they were like, we got this fucking Foley guy. He's amazing. He can do a bone crush sound like no other. Like, what are we doing? Break some bones on this episode.
Yeah, I think the problem was they spent so much of their budget on celery for this episode.
Yeah.
They had to keep using it.
And celery, I mean, it's like a dollar for stock. So just imagine.
They must have got a deal.
Yeah, they must know a guy. They must have a guy.
Well, if you buy celery and it still has some of the roots at the bottom of the stock, you could actually plant it.
Yes, this is true.
And that's a little life hack.
Mm-hmm. So who knows? Maybe this is 100-year-old celery that they're cracking.
Yeah, they could actually be making back some money selling celery on the side.
That's such a good tongue twister. If a Salian sold celery by the seashore, how many dollars would the Orville make? It's a riddle and a tongue twister.
Okay, so back on the Orville, Dr. Finn and John Lamar have come up with a great solution where they make the gravity very strong on the simulation room. It's got to be there for whatever reason.
this is pissing you off, I can tell.
But they're not answering their phone down there on Solea. So Captain Orville hops in the shuttle again. He goes back down, and finally we get the payoff on that clock on his suit. Now, last time he had an hour in the suit. This time it seemed like he only had 3 minutes. I don't know why.
Because he got shot.
That's what happened. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the suit knows how much time it has left. It's like, I am failing, Captain, but you have 3 minutes remaining.
Yeah. So, he kind of saves the day. He doesn't actually do anything, but he does give a distraction so that Alara is finally able to, I guess she's strong enough now, she's able to get off her chair and beat up these guys and, get the guns from them and stuff.
Yeah, and so much of strength just comes from believing in yourself and believing that you can do it.
Yeah, I didn't think that before watching this episode, but I really learned that lesson from what happened with Alara.
Well, I didn't think that until Kevin started making me do all these like thought exercises earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, if I'm the one making you do the thought exercises, you're not watching the show, because those should kind of be sparking off. Well, maybe it's subconscious and
you made me do other thought exercises. You made
okay, me do okay. Yes, that's good. And your brain must be strong.
Alara managed to inspire her dad, who for some reason really did not believe that he could drag Captain Orville to the ship.
Yes.
And all she had ever wanted from him her whole life was for him to just say that he believed in her, and he never would do it. And then he couldn't even drag a guy to the ship, and she told him that she believed in him.
And she also says, my legs are going to give out. She's like, I can't do it, Dad, because my legs are going to give out if I do it, so you got to do it. And I don't know. She seemed fine for a little while afterwards. It seemed like that was maybe more just like a thing for her dad to do. Like, you know I could do this. I could shoot this guy in the back, jump down and save Seth. But wouldn't it be cool if you did it, Dad? And, you know, so she made up this fake story about her legs giving out. And, you know, then he got to be the hero. I mean, look, Seth, he crushed two of his legs, but, you know, her dad feels so much better now for being a hero.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're shelling out the bucks for a Robert Picardo, you want to give him some business. You want to give him something to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Give him like a mangled hand and have him drag a body, you know?
Oh yeah. I forgot that he had to do it with his hand all fucked up. Jeez. He's stronger than I thought.
Well, I thought it
fucked up. Do they make that clear?
Yeah. From the soup or the sauce.
But like, is it going to stay like that? Or do they have like special healing properties?
No, he's sure. Well, this it's actually I don't know if you guys know this, but that sauce is like permanent.
Oh no.
Yeah. You can't do it. Once you get that sauce on you, it's staying.
Oh, man.
That is a really dangerous food that they
No, his hand is fine. I don't know, sorry. His hand is fine, but it has sauce all over it.
Oh, okay.
Forever.
That's why he kept screaming. He was like, ah! It's so gross!
Wait, is it just like a stain, or is it like the sauce is stuck to it?
It's, well, most of the sauce runs out, so it's kind of just like a discoloration, like if you have like a tomato stain on your shirt or something like that. But man, ugh. You imagine that?
Ooh.
And but I mean, that's after, but at the time, yes, like you're saying, when he was climbing off the side of his house, he couldn't use his other hand because he has sauce all over his house, and then he's got you can't get that sauce out
when they yeah. when they eat it. Does it stay?
Oh god. Oh no. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. They're aliens. Aliens are weird, Miranda. I don't know if you figured this one out, but they're weird.
I'm learning that from this show and from you.
Thank you.
I remember one detail about the sauce where he had to plunge his hand in the sauce because the guy didn't want him to serve it with the ladle. Was uh-huh. After he did stick his hand in and scream in pain, he then did try to serve the sauce onto the plate. It wasn't just about the torture and the pain. I still do want the sauce.
It's good shit. It stains and it's a mess, but it's good.
Yeah. Alara's dad finally shows her some appreciation, like I respect what you do, kind of. And that really meant a lot to Alara. I think that was the first time her dad has ever been nice to her.
Yeah. And I think the first time anyone in her family was nice to her was earlier when I think her sister said, when they were on their way to investigate the realtor's house, she said something on the way over, like, hey, I know everyone else thinks that you're fucking trash and you suck, but I think you can't really help it and it's not your fault. And she's like, wow. And she kind of gives her like a look like, thanks, sis, but I don't know if you know what that meant. Actually, she doesn't give her that look, but she should have.
Well, there's an interesting message in that, too, of like the part about, well, you know, some people value being smart, but there's value in being strong, and that's what you went for. And then she said, well, why can't you have both? Like, well, I guess you can't have, I mean, everyone. Dumb. And also, you're only strong because you left your planet. Literally, all of these smart people, if they went to Earth, mm-hmm. strong as you. So they yeah, all yeah. have both, and you are just dumb and also strong.
Yeah.
Good message.
Yeah, she's kind of like, she's like, tough break, kid, but, you know, what are you going to do? Cry about it?
Kevin, I have an interesting question that I just thought of. Like, what if, like, a bodybuilding, strong Saleyan left Saleya? Like, would they just be able to lift, you know, the slightly more that Alara would be able to on her planet? Or would it be, like, exponential when she got to another planet? When they got to another planet?
Well, that's interesting because, as we've seen earlier in the episode, that muscle mass and bone density, they don't really show on the physical form. So I'm trying to just like imagine what a Saleyan bodybuilder would look like. And I'm just kind of imagining maybe the realtor was a bodybuilder, you know, but we just don't know. So what would I say? Probably maybe be able to lift, I gotta figure out the math here. So say you're a human and you lift like 200 pounds, right? And then right. a bodybuilder can lift like 400 pounds. So that's mm-hmm. about two times as much, the amount there. So I'm going to go ahead and say that, say if Alara can lift up like one car, then the bodybuilder can lift up two.
This is getting into numbers territory, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm kind of dancing with the devil here. I got to back out of this one.
Also, I have to go. Please, 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 please give me the captain's kiss. Please, 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 please. I really feel like I earned it and I deserve it. And even if I'm not here when you say it, you know, it'll still mean so much to me. Please give me the captain's kiss.
All right. I will definitely take that into consideration. And I feel bad for the time when you were gone and we couldn't hear you.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was her fault, though, so I wouldn't really give that to her, give her credit for that. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Miranda.
They get back to the ship. Alara goes back for a minute, but she has decided, you know, she has missed too much time with her family. Now that her dad doesn't think her job is stupid, she wants to spend time with them and get to know them again. She no longer wants to be on the Orville. But she loved everyone on the Orville, the family she got there. But it's time for her to meet her real family, and you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the people on the ship. That's what you want to make very clear. Like, you guys are all good. You're great, even, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I found, and you were my family. But now I'm realizing that I actually do have a real family. So I have to go.
I kind of wonder if this storyline is a mirror of what happened in real life. Like, It's not that Halston, Sage, and Seth broke up and they're no longer a dating couple. Maybe she just decided she wanted to go spend more time with her actual father. he's probably not that much older than Seth, really.
Yeah. She's like, I need to stop being with my spaceship dad and be with my real dad.
Yes. But this felt, I mean... Of course, I'm so sad that Alara is leaving the show. It tears me up inside. But then on the other hand, it's so vindicating after we've been saying for so long that she's not going to be in season two. You know, she was there in the first three episodes. It seemed like Seth was saying, no, she's here for good. But then it finally happened, and it was just like, just a real, like, suck it Planetary Union, suck it the Orville podcast. Like, you guys are idiots. We're smart.
Yeah, this is our victory lap for sure.
This is super devastating for me because this is my only episode I've ever seen, and she was essentially the only character in it. And now she's gone. Like, I didn't get to meet anyone else. As far as I'm aware, this show is about her.
If this is all you've seen, then it's like, yeah, the show revolves around this woman, and then there's some guy who comes in and saves her every now and then named Orville.
Yeah, well, good luck sustaining that now that she's gone.
Yeah, so if this is how you jumped in, then, you know, you're going to be very disappointed the next step. Or you may think that this was just like a made-for-TV movie about this girl who, you know, a lot of implied backstory to start off.
Yeah,
it did kind of have that feel.
What did you make of the present she gave Captain Orville at the end, Mark?
Oh, let me see.
Do you remember it?
A lot. So I'm trying to remember. What did she give him? I don't remember.
Well, she gave him a jar of pickles.
Oh. No, I didn't even see that.
Yeah. Whoa. It didn't
well,
mean
what do
anything
you, to well, you. What do you, as someone who's never seen the show, what do you make of that?
Is it a Rick and Morty?
Yes. She's like, goodbye, Seth. Pickle Rick.
You can do anything. Be like,
she's like, Pickle Rick, get swifty. I'm out, bitches.
Right. Yeah, they didn't know, but they probably both have Pickle Rick tattoos.
Yeah.
So I admired that they had the balls to just do an A story and, you know, devote a full 48 minutes to just plot line. I feel like a lot of these hour-long shows try to have multiple sort of simultaneous plots. It's like, you know, you not trust your story enough. Like,
yeah, and honestly, most of the shows that do have a B story, most of the episodes that do, because they do that in this, and they have like B and C stories, and they are like the worst episodes. Like, they have it's like normally it's like, okay, this is getting a little boring. Let's go out to the other guy. It's like, no, this is all boring. And we're just going like boring place to boring place with like stupid stories. And then half the time they don't even like really meet up at the end, you know? And it's just, but so I actually liked this singular, storyline. And it was like a home invasion story. I was like, oh, this is actually kind of interesting. You know, like this guy's, when he says sticky, I want you, he's like, the ladle is dirty. Use something. He's like, I'm sure I have another spoon. He's like, no, I want you to use your hand. I was like, what is happening right now? Like, this is actually kind of good.
Well, it's truly weird. Yeah.
But now, Kevin, just to clarify for the listeners, when you say on other shows, like other episodes, it goes from a boring A story to boring B story. You mean other like TV shows, right? Not other episodes.
Yes, when I'm talking about the Orville, and I say, you know, like in other episodes, I'm talking about completely different shows. I'm not talking about the Orville. I should clarify that. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, because of course every episode of the Orville is better than the one preceding it.
Yeah, well, and this one was the best one yet.
Definitely.
Just by those, by that law that we established.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then there's a big heartfelt scene where Alara says goodbye to each of the, each of the six people that are in any given episode. Yeah. Not the hundreds of other people that are on the ship.
Yeah, there was I think four of them came out of one ship, and then two of them came out of another. And I was like, I don't think you guys were there on the same day. I think maybe you guys came out of the ship, and you guys came out.
Oh, maybe so.
That's a little behind the scenes. You know, they're stretching a dollar with that one.
Yeah, you know, I was really disappointed in the character of Josh, who is Alara's, you know, ex-boyfriend, of course, that couldn't take how strong she was. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you guys broke up, but come to the bridge and say goodbye, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Coward. Oh, yeah. Whatever. He's like one of those men's rights activists or something now, probably.
Probably so. It's very ironic that her gift to Captain Orville was a jar of pickles. Like, he's never going to be able to open that now without
Yeah, her. That's a sweet, sweet irony. I love it.
Yeah.
I could just imagine him and think it like, he's like, he sees the jar and he's like, what the hell? What the hell am I going to do with this? Oh.
Well, Kevin, we talked about it a little bit before you joined us. Just the amount of jokes that were in this episode. What was your favorite joke in this episode?
Oh, gosh. Well, okay. So people don't think it's funny, but when Seth got his legs crushed, I thought it was a little bit funny because his knees are bending the other way, and that looks a little silly to me.
Yeah. That's not the way they're supposed to go. So it's kind of slapsticky and a little a little like, rando.
Yeah, it's like a bonk on the head kind of thing where, you know, like, oh, yeah, it hurt, but it's funny.
You can't really count the elephant guy because that was kind of just a funny situation, like not really a joke.
Yeah, that was just like an introduction of a character. I don't think it was anything funny there about that, or you were just learning about this new species. It was actually like really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're learning. Learning doesn't have to be funny.
Well, it could have been a little bit of like a, like the workplace, like the awkward workplace humor.
Oh, yeah.
Like okay.
A bit of that vibe where there's not jokes, just weird interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Like a British office kind of thing.
Yes.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that too. The greats like to say, I'm sure in afterlife there's lots of Orville references and whatnot, you know, or Family Guy references. The new Ricky Gervais show I'm talking about.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. I'm trying to stay away from all media right now because I'm afraid there's going to be too many homages to the Orville, and I haven't seen all the episodes yet, so I'm afraid they're going to spoil it for me.
Yeah, so, it's like you can't go back and watch Seinfeld now. You're like, oh, I've seen this all before. It's because Seinfeld did it. So you go to watch all these other shows, and you're going to be like, you go back to watch the Orville, and you're going to say, oh, these guys are ripping off them. No, Orville did it first. Yep.
Yep.
I gotcha.
You kind of don't even need to watch Seinfeld anymore because they watch it sometimes on the Orville.
Yes.
But then also, like, Jason Alexander is the bartender. Patrick Warburton is now the science or the security officer. So it's kind of like you're already watching Seinfeld. Anyway.
Jerry, where are you? Hey, if Kramer comes sliding in through the sliding doors, hey, now we got a show. Now we got it. Okay. You were going to say that. You could say it.
Alien would Michael Richards be if they brought him on?
Probably like a human with like bigger ears or something.
Yeah, it would be very nice to him.
Although Jason Alexander and Patrick Warburton, you can barely tell it's them because you can only tell because of their voice, because they have like heavy, heavy prosthetics on them. So maybe he would be some kind of like a crazy alien monster guy.
Yeah. Do you think that Seth, when he's like telling him? Do you think it's like, oh, I'll do your show, but I don't want people to see my face, right? So it's almost as if they're more willing to go in and sit through like 4 hours of prosthetics. Because, right, like normally you get a call from Seth, they're like, oh, it's going to be like a voiceover thing. They're like, no, well, they won't see your face, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you will still be on my show and you will be having to like do some physical acting and stuff. So maybe these guys like it better because God knows Jason Alexander's, you know, he's not doing any of that little TV shit, you know? I mean, I'm not trying to call Orville, but, you know, he's doing Star Wars and the other guy's doing Star Wars. You know?
Yeah. Well, probably by now, Jason Alexander is kind of, like, he's not getting stopped as much as he was in the heyday of, like, Seinfeld and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, yes, I'll come on the Orville, but I don't want to be, you know, mobbed by Orville junkies on the street every day.
Free up his like super fame.
Oh right, my exactly. God, yes, that's it.
So I think we have discussed this episode fully. Like, it's time to rate the episode. Kevin, would you like to go first?
Sure. I'm going to give this episode roughly 3 minutes left to live, which is actually a good thing because the dad's going to save the episode and it's just going to get its legs broken. But that, of course, equals to a perfect score. And it's the best episode I've ever seen of anything ever.
Yeah, so 3 minutes out of 3 minutes, perfect episode. Yep. 2 out of 2 broken legs.
Yep.
How about you, Mark? What would you give this episode?
Well, I think I'll give it a 3 out of 3 as well, except I'm going to give it 3 out of 3 jokes. perfect number of jokes for a sensible comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 1.5 per half hour block.
Yeah.
Exactly. Got it. Something to ease you into the commercial breaks.
If you want a really joke dense show, then you'll go watch a Family Guy or American Dad or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you want to let the joke simmer in kind of like the sauce.
Yes. Yes.
In the Orville.
Well, that sauce was not simmering. It was at a high point.
It was at a rolling boil, I would describe it.
Personally, I'm going to give this 5 out of 5 burnt fingers in the sauce. Perfect episode. I really loved it.
That scene on the beach when she's riding the horse, the Evik, whatever it's called, and it's like so short, but I'm like, oh, this is like the best shot thing in the history of this show. Is this like less than 5 seconds, like slow motion scene? It's like the best cinematography they've ever done. So shout out to that, whoever the DP was or whatever on that.
Yeah, I didn't happen to be looking at the screen during that scene. Like, was she riding an alien creature?
Yeah, she's like riding it up and like as if she was riding a horse down like a beautiful beach. Like it was just you know how the special effects can be sometimes, I don't know, they just have this little like kind of off look to them, like in the best way possible, of course. This one, it actually looked like well done, very well done, like usual, but I'm just very, this one very hit it on the head this time.
Yeah.
So shout out to that moment, that 5 seconds.
Well, I think in those moments, they're kind of going for that look because it's, you know, so much of the show is based on aliens, alien mm-hmm. planets and stuff like that. They want it to look a little disconcerting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want you to be like, is this, what's going on here? Who's in charge? Who's in charge of the set work here? That's what, you know, you give you that little off feeling where you're like, who are you paying to do this?
Yeah. Yes. Other podcasts, I don't really have anything to say to them except for you were wrong, we were right. Like, I don't know if you also said that Alara was not going to be on season 2, but I assume you probably didn't because you're all really bad at being podcasters and you say the wrong thing and you're also criminals.
And you can't see the forest through the trees and you're brainwashed and they're programming you to think these things, and really if you just kind of step outside the matrix, you'll be able to notice this stuff like us. And this goes back to, of course, to Dr. Lim and Ganoderma, which we are still heavily taking in case anybody has been wondering about that. Miranda and Tim aren't here at the moment, so I would just say if you want to go to me or Greggy for your red Ganoderma, just come to us.
Yes,
we've got it.
I was gonna say I'm pretty much off of every other beverage. I only drink Ganoderma now.
Yeah, well, I mean, coffee, tea, but it's Ganoderma. It's not coffee and it's not tea. It's just Ganoderma.
Looking at tweets about the Orville. Let's see. Protozoa at Protozoa1. He tweets, at Tom Constantino, at Adrian Pilecki, at Scott Grimes, at Seth MacFarlane, at John Kassar, at The Orville, at Star Trek, at Mike Okuda, at Jonathan Frakes, at Brent Spiner, at Marina Sirtis, In parentheses, he says, I swear, this is the only time I will tag this many people. He says, immortalizing the two most important shows in the world. And it's a picture. He's got tattooed on his arm two Star Trek badges and the Orville, the Orville's logo, the Planetary Union logo. So Protozoa, great job. That's a great tattoo. You're going to want to remember the Orville for the rest of your life, definitely.
Yeah, definitely send us that stencil and I'll get it to my guy and I'll have one of those pretty much ASAP.
Mark, like what kind of a Orville tattoo are you thinking of getting?
This was the only episode I've seen and I was not looking at the TV for a lot of it. So I feel like I missed a lot of possible like iconography.
Yeah, you should really probably just get Alara's family on your back.
You know what I might do is I might get a digital timer, like a huge digital timer on my...
Have it say 420.
I have 4 minutes and 20 seconds left before my legs get crushed.
Yes, because you're going to be so high. Your legs are going to be like jello. I would probably get Alara's family like a Death Row Records style on my back.
Yes. Maybe a Last Supper, where, of course, instead of Judas, Kelly would be in the place of Judas.
Yes. And she's over there and she's making the evil sauce, the Salean sauce.
Wait a second, Mark, you've never seen the show before. Do you know why Kelly is so evil? I don't think they've even said it on this episode.
Oh my God.
I'm sure I know who Kelly is.
They're trying to whitewash Kelly's sins.
Yes.
And it's making me sick. Season 2 is trying to erase the fucking vindictive, evil, conniving. Oh, just I hate saying this word, but the bitch that she is. They're trying to erase it.
I can see like why they would want to, because it's hard to tell a story where it makes sense that they would, you know, willingly have such an evil person on the ship as Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's like you gave her this this character trait. You have to deal with it.
You wrote this. You should have killed her off in episode 3 or some shit, you know? Instead, here we are saying goodbye to Alara, the only one who's ever, well, not the only one, but like she's the only, like she's better than Kelly. You know? Mm-hmm,
definitely. Like
the most important person on the show.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, in this episode, definitely.
In this episode, yeah. I mean, and even then, I still wouldn't say she's the most important person in this episode, because Seth is in this episode at some point, so...
Yeah. Kelly is the second in command. Having watched this episode, you can probably not place her or, you know, picture her face or anything.
White lady who didn't have any prosthetics or anything. So.
Yeah, she's the second one to hug Alara as she was saying goodbye. If you were counting which, if you had them labeled by number in the order they hugged, she is the second one.
And she didn't fully cry, but she seemed like a little quivery about the whole scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah, she was smiling inside. I think that's what you're
noticing. I think she's a textbook psychopath. She doesn't actually feel anything inside. So she tries to fake it as best she can. In episode 1 of season 1, Mark, Kelly
directed by Jon Favreau.
Yes, directed by Jon Favreau of Iron Man, Swingers, etc. Not the Pod Save America guy, the other Jon Favreau. anyway, yeah, so Kelly cheated on Captain Orville. They were married at the time with an alien. And so they got divorced. But then she somehow ended up the second in command here on the ship. Crazy circumstance.
Like only something that a true psychopath could kind of finagle, like her way back onto the ship with her ex-husband. Like what kind of evil strings did she pull that we didn't see? That's just only left for you to imagine as a viewer.
It must have been some dark shit, because the military does not like to have people in direct command over there.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, and this is the military. Mark understands this show now.
Let's see. Damien at Damien666 says, at Halston Sage, wish you all the best with all future endeavors. However, I will truly miss your shining light as Alara on hashtag the Orville. The universe is a little darker without you. I hope one day we are fortunate enough to see you portray the awesome Alara once again. Absolutely. Thank you, Damien666. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yes, Damien666, love you and everything that you wrote there. She will be missed. And I think they're going to do on the show, maybe they're going to take her prosthetic ears and forehead and give it the old Viking funeral.
Well, you would think that, but Mark actually shared a little bit of a spoiler earlier. And to be honest, when I was looking for tweets, I actually saw it online as well. But coming up very soon, they're going to replace her with another woman from Solea that looks like almost very, very similar.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this woman floating around the internet. She looks... I do not like her.
Well, that's one way to stretch your effects dollar is to be able to reuse the same prosthetics when you let one person go from the show.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like they just so coldly replaced her with the same person, same type character. We'll see. Look, she's got some big shoes to fill, huh?
Definitely. Laughing Bill at Laughing underscore Bill says, at Seth MacFarlane, buried deep in the recesses of Walmart are the origins of the Krill's hatred towards the human race. Hashtag the Orville. And he's got a picture of Spring Valley brand Krill oil.
Bill, you are so funny.
Yeah, it's a great source of omega-3. But you gotta imagine if the Krill ever found out about that, they'd be really angry.
Yeah, Bill, be careful.
Now, Mark, of course, you've never seen another episode, so you don't know, but the Krill are kind of the bad guy species of the Orville.
And they're based on Krill from Earth, little tiny shrimps?
No, they're kind of like humans, but like they've got like weird white heads.
Well, then I think the krill oil that guy found is not the same thing.
Well, maybe not, but I think he was just doing a little bit of a joke, probably.
Yeah, well.
You also don't really know how these ships run. I think the Orville runs on mushroom spores.
Yeah, I think that's what they said about the Orville.
So you never know, buddy.
Well, that was all our segments, I think. Mark, well, thank you so much for being on the show.
About the captain's kiss, is that a thing?
Oh, right. That's the final segment. So every week, because we do this podcast every week, I select one of my co-hosts here to receive the captain's kiss award, a very prestigious award that just... recognizes the great work that each of my co-hosts has done. Of course, only one can get it, so not necessarily each, but...
Can I just play this? I have a little audio clip I want to play for you real quick.
Oh, yes, please.
Greetings, Planetary Union. It is I, Neil deGrasse Tyson. And as I look through the billions and billions of stars in infinite space, and I touch women inappropriately on stage, I think Kevin should get the captain's kiss.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he's canceled, but yeah, I should have seen it coming.
One thing to consider is whether any of your co-hosts actually were on the entire time.
That's a good point. Yeah, there was only one co-host so far this week that has been here through thick and thin from the start to the finish.
Wow.
It's somehow become kind of a long episode. We're like an hour 40 minutes at this point. Yeah, I've got to think it over. Of course, Miranda did give a really strong case for why she should receive it. I don't really remember her reason, but...
Something about leaving early and also ducking out for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think having considered things fully and thought about, you know, how I feel about Tim for not being here, I think it's got to go to Neil deGrasse Tyson. Thank you so much for making that great clip for Kevin.
Like, what?
Well, it's just a thrill to get such a celebrity on the
podcast. That's a huge get.
You know what he said about what he did to women, right? Oh my God. Okay.
Hey. Okay.
It was a different time.
Hey, separate the scientists from the whatever, the science, yeah. I guess.
If outrage culture has gone so far that they would drag Neil deGrasse Tyson, the greatest scientific mind in America,
they're trying to drag me across all the beaches in all the world, and the amount of sand on all those beaches does not even equate to the amount of stars in the universe.
Wow, I didn't know you had more clip.
Yeah, that was, he sent me that right after I, because he calls me whenever someone's trying to cancel, and he kind of let he vents.
You're yeah, a good friend.
And the first part about the captain's kiss, he doesn't even really know about this. He was saying he wants to give me, he calls himself the captain. He wants to give me the captain's kiss.
Are you interested in receiving that from him, or is that like a further cat cancel?
Well, I mean, if you are giving him the captain's kiss and then he gives me, I guess technically it's transitive property, I'm receiving it from you. So
okay,
I'll take it.
Yeah, that works. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, here you go, buddy. Mwah.
Oh. Thank you.
Yeah, folks, thanks for listening. Kevin, thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. Mark, of course, thank you so much.
Oh, it was a pleasure. And now I've got a new favorite show.
Yeah, I would say definitely check out some of the other episodes because you missed out on so much of the deep world building and lore that they've built up on the show so far.
Oh, I'm excited to get into it.
Yep. Thanks, guys. And, you know, to all our listeners out there, keep listening, you know, stay strong. And if you feel weak, imagine you're on the moon lifting a car.
The most astounding fact is the knowledge that the atoms that comprise life on Earth, the atoms that make up the human body are traceable to the crucibles that cooked light elements into heavy elements in their core under extreme temperatures and pressures. These stars, the high mass ones among them, went unstable in their later years. They collapsed and then exploded, scattering their enriched guts across the galaxy. Guts made of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and all the fundamental ingredients of life itself. These ingredients become part of gas clouds that condense, collapse, form the next generation of solar systems. Stars with orbiting planets. And those planets now have ingredients for life itself. So that when I look up at the night sky, and I know that, yes, we are part of this universe. We are in this universe. But perhaps more important than both of those facts is that the universe is in us. When I reflect on that fact, I look up. Many people feel small because they're small and the universe is big, but I feel big because my atoms came from those stars.